Well, let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for each one that's here. I thank you, Lord, for the influence that they have and the opportunities, Lord, that are before them to impact the lives of others. We pray, Father, that tonight you would speak to us through your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit would just minister to each one as you desire. Lord, that in some way, Lord, they would be strengthened, encouraged, empowered, changed. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you know the Lord, you can help someone else know the Lord. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. If you have children and grandchildren, you need to be a leader to them, a spiritual leader. Whatever way the Lord gives us an opportunity to lead or influence someone else, we want it to be something that makes a lasting difference. We want our fruit to remain. You know, if the Lord tarries, none of us wants to just be quickly forgotten when we pass on for this life, right? But as a believer, we really want our lives to be a legacy. We want to leave something behind that will last on into eternity. John 15 and 16, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. There's a whole lot here in these verses, in this verse, and I'm not going to take time to go through each phrase, but I want you to see here, though, that he has appointed you. He chose you and he appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And then he says this, that your fruit should remain. By the way, I just want to go ahead and point out to you that when we read the verses earlier, prior to this, and Jesus is talking about abiding in him and his word abiding in us, it's the same Greek word that's used here when he says that your fruit should remain. It abides. It's not supposed to fade away, but it's supposed to stay. It's supposed to remain. And you know what? We don't want our life to just make a splash. You know, people always talk about how that when we do an act of kindness or we do some nice thing that, you know, it's like a pebble, how it will leave a ripple and begin to make rings that spread and go out and out. Now, it's kind of a neat illustration, but I want to tell you something. Have you ever watched what happens to the rings? Well, they eventually just kind of fade away. They're gone. And you know what? That's not the way we want our lives to be. We don't want to just make a splash, even a big splash. You get a big rock and throw it in the water, and it makes a big splash. Bigger rings. But after a minute, a few seconds, actually, they're gone. No, we want our lives to be something that's going to make a difference on an eternity. And the influence that we have on our children, our grandchildren, our co-workers, or maybe in some ministry within the church, we want it to make a difference in eternity. Lasting fruit, that your fruit should remain. We want to make a lasting difference in the life of others, an eternal difference. So how can we do that? Is it possible that someone that you knew for only a short time never forget the impact that you had on their life? Is it possible that your grandchildren and your children, amen, especially your own family, that you'll make such an impact on their life that they'll never be the same? You know, I've heard this passage of scripture quoted many times in regard to money, and it certainly applies to money. It's Proverbs 13:22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. It's certainly talking about earthly riches. But I think it's even more true in regard to spiritual riches, to a spiritual inheritance, that a good man, he leaves behind an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance for his children, that he's left behind an influence in their life that's going to impact them forever. But we want our life to count. Want to leave a permanent mark, yeah, on the lives of others. So how can we have that fruit that remains? We're going to go to John 15. Let's read 1-8. He says, Jesus speaking, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now there's, as I said earlier, there's a whole lot in these verses, but just going to focus on a few key things in regard to fruit that remains. First of all, though, I want to make it clear. Jesus makes it clear that we're supposed to bear fruit. He said, so shall you be my disciples. And he said that the Father will be glorified. Listen, the fruit is the impact of our lives. It is us reproducing what we have in the lives of others. I want to tell you something about disciples. Disciples are supposed to make disciples. It's the Great Commission that you go into all the world and make disciples. But looking at the big picture in regard to fruitfulness, in regard to leading others, we need to always keep Jesus as the main thing. So he gives us some simple principles here. First and foremost, how about this one? I am the vine. Real simple. Jesus is the source. He's the source of life. He's the source of life-changing power. He has to be the main thing. If we want our fruit to remain, we have to always, always remember that Jesus is the vine. He's the attraction. He's the main attraction. I hate to put it in those terms because he really ought to be the only attraction. But I'm just telling you, though, we need to be lifting up Jesus. If we want fruit that remains, it is never about us. It's all about him. Fruit that remains is never about personality or gifting. I'm not saying that God doesn't use those things. He certainly can and does. But it can never be about the personality or the gifting. It's about Jesus. If it's about the personality and the gifting, it won't last. It has to be about Jesus. And I'm saying that because I've seen what happens when a church is built around the charisma and the gifting of a pastor, and then that pastor leaves or ages and eventually retires, and the church crumbles. What happened? I've seen it when a ministry was built around the personality of a certain man, and when that man fell or when he stepped aside, the ministry was no more. I've seen it when the youth pastor left the church and the thriving youth group dwindled away to almost nothing. And young people that were going to church every week didn't even go to church anymore. I'm just telling you, if you want your fruit to remain, it can't be about you. It's not about you. It's not about your giftings, your personality. It's about Jesus. And all you are is that vessel, that sign to point the way to Jesus. He's the vine, nobody else. See, we're all branches. Nobody else is a vine. And it's amazing to me how sometimes the church kind of takes on the attitudes of the world, where we think that if I hear people talk this way all the time. They think that we need the celebrities of the world to get saved so then other people will get saved. I understand what they're saying, but it's not about somebody's personality. It's about Jesus. And Jesus is enough. That's one of the crazy things we've done in this world where it's all about marketing. They're trying to market Jesus and sell Jesus and talk, you know, it's like try to talk it down where, you know, we get it to where, you know what, Jesus never did that. He just said, follow me. He was enough. And I'm telling you, he's still enough. He's what people need. And if you want to impact somebody's life in a way that lasts, you got to keep Jesus as the main thing. You got to just remember it's about Jesus. If we're not pointing people to Jesus, we're not pointing them in the right direction. Nobody can change a life but Jesus. There's a lot of fluff today in ministry and church and Christianity. There's a lot of hype. And I'm going to tell you, I think we ought to be excited about Jesus, and I think we ought to be fervent and zealous serving the Lord. Whatever we do for God, we do heartily as unto the Lord. I mean, we just ought to be going all out. But when I say hype, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about there's a lot of show. And I'm telling you, it's got to be about Jesus, not the trimmings. Our music here is awesome. Now, there may be some of you that don't think so. Well, that's okay. We'll pray for you. But I'm just telling you, it's awesome. And so I don't want anybody to think that I am opposed to really good music. I think the church ought to have great musicians, gifted, anointed, all of that. But I want you to hear me now. It's not about the music. And in this modern day and time, it's not about the video. It's not about, you know, all of the lights and the show. It's about Jesus. And if we move away from that, we're just missing it all together. And I know I'm preaching kind of, you know, to pastors, people like me, because, you know, we're the ones that are responsible so much for what goes on in the church. But I'm giving it to you as an illustration that in your own life, you need to always remember, this is what will have lasting fruit, is Jesus connecting people to the vine and nothing else. It's amazing how people they jump on some bandwagon and they think, you know, I'm just not even going to give you a specific here. I'm just going to leave it open to you. But I'm telling you, you know, if you look on Facebook, you'll see 1,000 different bandwagons that people are on. All kinds of bandwagons. There's one bandwagon you need to be on. That's Jesus. That's it. And you get on this bandwagon and that bandwagon and, you know, harping on this and harping on that. You know what you need to be talking to people about? Jesus. Jesus is the life changer. I'm telling you. You see, all this other stuff, that's the fruit of a life that's not serving God. But what we need to be preaching is Jesus. We need to be pointing people to Jesus all the time. Nothing else has life in it. Nothing but Jesus. There's only one cause. It's the cause of Christ. Next, he says, abide in me. Abide in me. In fact, he says in verse 4, abide in me. Can't bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch, he's withered, and they gather and throw him into the fire. If you abide in me, over and over and over, he says, abide in me. Now, it certainly is talking about prayer. Because if you don't ever pray, if you don't talk to the Lord, I can assure you, you're not really abiding in him. But it's actually the bigger picture here is that we remain in Jesus. We stay in Jesus. We stay hooked in Jesus. Just like we were talking about that Jesus is the vine and that's where we got to connect people to. That's where we got to always be pointing people to. For us personally, if we're going to impact anybody's life for Jesus, for eternity, then we ourselves have to be connected in that vine. We got to stay connected. You know, I can't think of a worse kind of pride than the pride that would think that they can really help somebody, really make a difference in a life, or have any kind of lasting influence in a life apart from Jesus. It's only Jesus. Apart from him, he said, we can do nothing. And it doesn't matter our giftings or personality or whatever, our wisdom or whatever else. It's just Jesus in us. And so we have to, if we want to have fruit that remains, we have to abide in him. I think that there is a spiritual connection there for the believer, that we are always connected to Jesus. But I also think that there is a practical way that we spend time with him and that we spend time in his presence. You know, they said about the disciples, they said, these guys have been with Jesus. Shouldn't it be that way for us, that people just know that we've been with Jesus, that there's something different about us, that we've been with him enough, that we're not just like everybody else in this world, but Jesus has truly influenced us and changed us, and we're becoming more like him. That's how we have fruit that remains. It's as we abide in him. By the way, he mentions prayer in both verses 7 and 16. And I want to say this clearly. If we're going to be fruitful, we have to pray. When we try to do things in our own strength, our own wisdom, it always fails. But when we've been with Jesus, then we can have an impact for eternity. Now, Jesus says that if we abide in him, in verse 7, and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Wow, what a powerful promise about prayer. Absolutely amazing promise that he gives us. He says, ask what you will, and it will be done for you. Now, I want to make sure that you understand. You see, a lot of people get disillusioned by a promise like this. It is not a genie in a bottle promise. Well, anything I want. Well, I didn't get it the first time. Maybe if I rub it a little harder, anything I want. Ask what you will, all right? I'm asking. He's talking about in the context of bearing fruit. Listen, here's how you have lasting fruit, fruit that remains. You see, when you abide in him and his word abides in you, then there's something very powerful that's taking place. Then when you pray, you see, you're not praying. I want to tell you something. If you abide in Jesus and his word abides in you, you're not going to pray selfish, gimme prayers. You're going to pray prayers about changed lives. As you start praying like that, you won't be disillusioned. But it's not a genie in the bottle prayer. No, it's about changed lives. It's about fruit that remains. Next, he says, my words abide in you. And as I said, that's part of that combination. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you ask what you will. And that's fruitful. He says, ask what you will, and it will be done. Wow, that's fruitful. My words abide in you. Now, this is the only place where he mentions this, but I think it's worth mentioning tonight. If we want our fruit to remain, his word has to be in us. Listen. That's what we need to be saying to other people. A lot of our influence is what we do. But I want to tell you something. If his word is in you, it changes not only what you say, but it also changes what you do. But you see, it's the word of God that is that eternal seed that you put in the lives of others. When Jesus told the parable of the sower, he explained that the seed was the word of God. Now, not everybody receives it, but to those that received it, it grew up in their life and produced a harvest. And what I'm saying to you is, what will produce lasting fruit in other people's lives? It's the word of God. And so you need to have the word of God in you. Now, I knew a woman one time who you couldn't have a regular conversation with because everything you said to her or asked her a question, anything, she would just quote a scripture. And I mean, it didn't matter if it was relevant or had anything to do with what you were trying to talk about. She would just quote a scripture. And I'm not talking about being weird and kooky, but I'm just telling you what people in this world need is God's word. There's 1,000 voices, 1,000, oh my goodness, a bazillion opinions. And what are they worth? 2 cents. 2 cents. 2 cents. Everybody's got one. And everybody's glad to give it, seems like. Let me tell you, people don't need another opinion. What they need is God's word. God's word has a life in it. It has a power in it. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, what happens when you, as his vessel, as part of his body, with his spirit, when you speak his words to people, they are spirit and they are life. You see, that's powerful. When you start sharing the word of the Lord with other people, oh, not just to be religious, but being led of the Spirit and speaking the word of God into their life, it's spirit and life. It's life-changing. That word, listen, it's eternal. So we're talking about lasting fruit. And you give someone the eternal word of God, it has the potential in it to produce something eternal in their life. Lasting fruit. You got to have his word abiding in you. By the way, y'all just bear with me if I'm messing up the notes a little bit tonight. But let me say this one real clear. It says, the word is a seed that can produce eternal results. His word has great power. You know, Jesus, when he taught, they said he speaks as one who has authority. I know there's a lot of people who are quiet and timid, and maybe you feel like, oh, I could never speak as one who has authority. But I just want you to realize this. You can speak with a soft, meek voice. And when you speak the word of God, you are speaking something that has the authority of heaven behind it. With the word of God, the universe was created. And the word of God coming out of your mouth has the authority of Jesus behind it. So just realize that when you let his word abide in you, and you're speaking out his word, it has great power. This isn't a point in the message tonight, but I do want to mention this. If his word abides in you, you're going to keep his commands as well. You can't just talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And if our fruit is going to remain, we certainly have to do that. In fact, if you read the rest of the passage, he talks about how important it is that you keep his commands. But if you want to leave a lasting impression on somebody, don't give them your opinion. Instead, give them the word of God. Next, he says, I in you. It's in verse 4 and 5. You know, a lot of times when I read this passage, I see all the times that he says, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, my word in you. But I just kind of pass over that most of the time. But twice in this passage, he says, if you abide in me and I in you, Jesus living in you, remaining in you, staying in you, can't lead others to Jesus or to be more like Jesus if we're not allowing him to live in us. To be Jesus to someone else. I remember years ago, one of the young people in my youth group, when I left, you know, people say nice things to you when you're leaving. And one of the young people, when I left, they wrote me a letter and said, "Mark, you've always been like Jesus to me." And I thought that was pretty great, pretty humbling. And now I realize even more so how humbling. That was about 25 years ago. And if anything, I feel further from that place I want to be just like Jesus, to really be Jesus to other people. It just seems like such a tall order that how could we do that? How could we truly represent Jesus and be like Jesus in this world? It's not really that complicated. We just have to be willing. Luke 9:23-24, Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." If you want to impact the lives of others for eternity, you're going to let Jesus live in you. I'm telling you, you're going to have to deny yourself. You can't do what you want. No, you got to take up his plan and purpose every day and follow him. It's true spiritual leadership. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. You want to have fruit that remains? I'm telling you, it'll cost you something. Jesus talked about the cost of discipleship. And I can tell you, if you want to have fruit that remains, you got to let Jesus live in you. And that means that you're not doing it your way anymore. No, you're denying yourself. You're taking up his plan and purpose. You're taking up that cross and you're going his way, following Jesus. It's not that hard. You just have to die. Oh, they don't preach this anymore. Jesus, it's the very next verse. Jesus says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." He's talking about it right there, that we got to be willing to just lay down our life. And I want to tell you, that's how Jesus is in you. That's how he lives in you, is that you lay down your life and you let Jesus live in you. Well, Galatians 2:20. "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. No longer I who live. It's no longer I who live." What did Jesus say? "I in you. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It's Jesus living in us. We want to have a lasting impression on the lives of others. Oh, it's like John the Baptist said, "I must decrease, he must increase." More of Jesus, less of me. Realizing Jesus is the answer. He's the one that really changes their life. You know, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul and how that he said in his weakness, in his infirmity, he said that he would boast in that. He would glory in that, because when he was weak, then he was strong. It's when he was weak that the power of Christ rested on him. And I'm telling you, in this message tonight, we want lasting fruit, fruit that remains. Oh, it's not in our strengths and our abilities. It's not in what we can do, but it's in yielding. It's in dying. It's in allowing him to live in us. Jesus said, John 12:24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." he was certainly talking about his own life. But I'm telling you, when we realize that we're crucified with Christ and that we're here in this world to let Jesus live in us, oh, what an impact we can have. How many lives? He said, it produces much grain. But as long as we do it our way, we live for self, I'm telling you, there's no lasting fruit. No, it's Jesus in us that makes the difference. Simple message, Jesus is the vine. There is no other source that we can ever look to. We have to abide in him, stay close to him, stay hooked in, stay in prayer, always looking to him, as apart from him, we can do nothing. His word has to abide in us. It is that life-changing word from God, the eternal seed of the word of God that changes lives forever. And oh, how this world needs to see Jesus in us. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Oh, Jesus, just come before you, acknowledging that you are the source. You are everything and all in all, Lord. And Lord, we just give you the glory and the honor. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for saving us, for healing us, for setting us free. Oh, for turning our lives around, changing our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you would use us in some way. Use us in a greater way. Lord, even in our weakness, Lord, when we think that our time has passed, when we think that we're just not enough, oh, Jesus, in our weakness, use us for your glory. May we just point others to you. Hallelujah. That you be glorified. That you be glorified, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for raising up true leaders. Leaders who are followers of Jesus. All to show the way to a lost world. To people who are searching and looking. Use us, Lord. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. That's in your own way. Would you just say that to the Lord? You can say it under your breath. You can say it silently, but say it sincerely. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Amen. That's a prayer he likes. Amen. I love you. Lord bless you. Lead somebody. Help somebody. Amen.